Welcome to the Serious TV Drama Podcast with Scott and Dan. I'm Scott, and with me as always, the pale rider to my High Plains drifter, it's Dan. How are you this evening, Dan?
I'm not sure if either one of them was complimentary, but I'm doing pretty good.
I just had to come up with a Western thing on a spur of the moment.
I am pale, but I'm hoping you're not that rapey. So, but you know.
And we're my God, how do we drag a podcast down that quickly? No, especially not in this day and age. Not that I ever was. Christ. No. So, to get this train back on track, we are here to talk about the latest Netflix binge that we both experienced. Gosh, for me, it was kind of a while ago, it feels like now. The show Godless. Dan, you and I think we've said at least a few times in the past that we're both kind of big Western fans.
Yeah, definitely.
So
great, very good genre with plenty of good stuff, and even the stuff that isn't that good is for the most part usually watchable.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's an interesting thing with Westerns, again, more so than in most other genres I can think of. I can still enjoy a Western that may not be the best movie. It may be kind of like kind of cheesy or corny or very formulaic, whatever. It's also the one genre that I do not mind the cliches. I do not mind the tropes and the stereotypes or whatever word you want to use for all the things that we commonly associate with Westerns. I get a kick out of that. I embrace it. It is cool when someone, whether it be in film or television, does something to deconstruct it a bit or turn it on its head a little bit. But by and large, you're still always going to find a lot of those certain things in most Westerns. But I enjoy that. As you know, and a few people who know me well know, like one of my own scripts I've written is actually a Western. So you know I'm really into Westerns. I've probably spent, literally hundreds of hours writing and rewriting something, and now I'm supposed to be rewriting it again, goddammit. But yeah. I always will have a special place in my heart for anything in the Western genre.
Yeah. Oh yeah, and I'm into that too, and I like to go out to those areas that they shoot in and stuff, and just kind of, try to have that same kind of, pick up the vibe that the things were like back then while I'm out there.
Yeah. Quite often the different landscapes and for different Westerns tend to be the regions that you've gone to, a lot of parts of the Southwest and all those great Red Rock areas and shit like that. So,
oh yeah,
yeah,
Westerns, including the show we're about to talk about.
Yes, absolutely. So, because beyond films, obviously there's been everything from whether it be the Japanese cinema or John Ford or Sergio Leone. Westerns have also been a massive staple in television since television's inception. Well before either one of us were alive, Westerns kind of ruled television. And in our generation, we were lucky enough to experience a show like Deadwood, which I think is in the running for one of the best series, period, quite frankly. I wouldn't pick it, but it definitely deserves a seat at that table,
because
Deadwood was amazing. So when I started hearing about Godless, when Godless premiered, and there was all these rumblings, and I started seeing people commenting on Facebook and Twitter, whatever, and people were mentioning this in the same breath as a show like Deadwood. So I was like, okay, hold your horses, and there we go again. But it's certainly, I was certainly going to be intrigued enough to check it out anyway, because it's a Western. We made it through all, how many seasons were there of Hell on Wheels? Five? Six?
Something like that, yeah.
Felt like 60. And there was a lot of good in Hell on Wheels, but also in retrospect, there was a lot of, but we still generally enjoyed it, I think. but
yeah, I don't have many complaints about it. I liked what they did. I can't really think of anything that bothered me at the moment.
I felt it kind of dragged its feet for a good chunk of time, and there is one episode that many people for some reason rave about, and I'm the first to rave about, like, you know, the quote unquote special episodes of any television series, but I did not think the one that everyone raves about was all that good. In fact, I thought it was extremely flawed. And
I'm not sure which one you're talking
there's
about.
There's one, I think it's, and again, I don't want to get too caught up on talking about Hell on Wheels, because for all you know, lots of people listening to this didn't bother watching that show, so I apologize to them in advance. But then I believe there's one episode where the main character is kind of stuck with the guy who's been, by and large, the main bad guy through most of the series. And he's like kind of like dragging him around or whatever. And it's not as good as people think it is. It really isn't. I even watched it a second time to try to give it another chance. Like, no, it's not very well written. It's not as good as y'all think it is. I think we just got too enraptured with the idea, like, but it's the main protagonist and the main antagonist, and they're stuck together, and it's like, nah, it could have been 1,000 times better. But here, we're here to talk about, like I said, we're here to talk about Godless. So you watched it a bit more recently than I did.
Correct.
So if I end up relying on you a little bit memory-wise, that might happen during this podcast. But I like the fact that we're talking about a show that was a limited series. I mean, I guess they could do a second one if they wanted to, but this was really constructed to be, it was seven episodes.
Yeah.
You know, a seven episode series, so, you know, with a beginning, middle, and end, unlike, you know, Deadwood. So that was kind of nice, but I kind of just want to talk about, you know, just the general ideas here and, you know, what we liked and what we didn't like, and see if by the end of it, if we think it was as good as some made it out to be, or there were, and I did read a few things about it. There were people who were critical of it too. So it wasn't like raves across the board necessarily, but,
That's good.
So since you watched it more recently, what were your initial thoughts, especially when you were watching, I mean, whether you went either overall or at least when you hit those first couple episodes of Godless?
Well, you know, I kind of went in. When it first came out, I didn't really pay much attention to it, because that was at a point where, like, I wasn't bothering watching any Netflix shows at all. So when something would come out, I'd just be like, okay, whatever. I know I'm not going to watch this. So I didn't really pay any attention. But you spoke relatively highly of it on our 4 or 5 million hour long 2017 podcast, possibly longer than the year itself was, but
or felt.
So and, you know, I went into it knowing that you know, that it was going to be good and worth my time, and I definitely would say that it was. I don't know if it was something where I felt the need to watch it, like, you know, really, really fast, even though I basically watched the entire thing in a day for whatever reason.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I just had a day where I didn't have to do anything, and I just wasn't feeling like going out and doing much. So, I'm pretty sure I watched the entire thing in a day. But yeah, it was good stuff. Definitely not perfect, but, you know, we're not dumb, clueless millennials who fall in love with the first thing we see and then just assume it's the best thing ever for no reason. So, no, it's not as good as Deadwood, a show which I like, but I'm not in love with. But it's definitely nowhere near as good as Deadwood. But there's plenty of good stuff about it, which we'll be getting into here, I'm sure.
Okay, let me make sure my checklist is here. So we got a rapey comment in, and now we've gotten our insult millennials comment in. All right, let's make sure we got that here. I was excited to check it out because, number one, I'm a sucker for the genre. Number two, I knew of some of the cast members, and I was intrigued by the casting. You know, we've got, you know, first we got Scoot McNairy? Is that how his name is pronounced?
Yep.
So I was looking forward to seeing him, you know, because we're fans of his from Halt and Catch Fire. And it's funny, the character he plays here feels like if you took his character from Halt and Catch Fire and said, What would that character be like if you plopped him down in the, 1870s or 80s, whenever this takes place, because I don't recall right now. That's to a certain extent how I would imagine him. Maybe a little bit different, but not drastically. You got Michelle Dockery in this, who once again proves that she's not just Lady Mary. Although I will, again, as I said on the Best of 2017 podcast, folks, really, if you think she, if you loved, you thought she was so much different than Downton Abbey in this, you need to check out the show Good Behavior, and you'll see how she can be really different than Lady Mary. But I think ostensibly she's, of all the women on in the series, and there are quite a few of them, I would say she's the lead of all of them, based on her character's placement in the show.
Yeah, I suppose.
And then you had like other people in it that I, just playing a role that I hadn't seen them before. And like Merritt Weaver, it plays, oh, what's her character's name? Mary Agnes, who's actually Bill McNew, that's the Scott McNairy character, his sister, whatever. And although I know she appeared for X number of episodes on that horrible Walking Dead crap, I know her best from Nurse Jackie. And this role and Nurse Jackie are about as diametrically opposite as you get. So that was kind of cool to see her here. But with all the people in this, oh, and Sam Waterston, of course, with that amazing
Yeah.
mustache, whatever. But if we're going to talk about anyone's performance at all on this program, I think it begins and ends, perhaps, Jeff Daniels.
Oh,
Holy
yeah.
crap. I
Yeah.
was so floored by how good he was on this. It was just really great work by him.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't seen him do something that, cool, probably ever.
Maybe, yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
I've seen him in a lot of things over the last 35, 40 years. But what I loved about this was when you watch that first episode, I mean, he's basically set up to be, oh, he's a bad guy. And I remember I was joking with you about, the history of bad guys named Frank. It's a great one because probably, at movie wise, I think we might be in agreement on this. The best bad guy in any Western of all time is a guy named Frank. I mean, Once Upon a Time in the West, that Henry Fonda's a bad guy. Even though Once Upon a Time in the West is not my favorite Western, as far as Western villains, I don't think there's a better one than that. I mean, he's just like the worst person ever. And plus, it's Henry Fonda, which
Yeah.
makes it crazy because, he's Abe Lincoln. He's the all-American guy, and he actually got to play a role like that late in his career, which is pretty awesome. But the thing with Jeff Daniels' character, whose name is Frank Griffin, I guess, if this had been a shorter series, if this had just been, which would have been weird, I guess, if it had just been a movie, for example, or just like a couple episodes, he may have just been like, oh, the ultimate evil guy, much say like Frank in Once Upon a Time in the West. I think, although there's good things and bad things about the length of the series as far as how it affects the story, I would say one of the good things about us having that much time is that it made that character a much richer character, a lot more depth to him than I would have expected from that first episode. I might not go as far as to say he's ever sympathetic, but at least there's a lot more to him. He's not a one-dimensional, one-note character. Which is probably why I think he has an excellent shot at nailing down, award nominations next year. Maybe not, but I think he has a good shot at it. But
Yeah.
I mean, he was my favorite thing about the series. I mean, at least acting
Yeah.
wise. I thought he was just, every time he was on screen, I was just like, you just sat up.
Yeah. I think I can agree with that. He definitely was the most interesting character, I'd say. Not that I really minded a lot of the other ones, but
No, it's not. No, I didn't mind any of the other ones, but I would say that this was just the one unfortunate thing about the series. It's and okay, this is a per my own criticism. Maybe no, I don't care if anyone agrees with me or not. The villain is way more interesting than the quote unquote hero of the story. There's nothing wrong with the because the main protagonist. It's not Scoot. It's actually Jack O'Connell's character, Roy Good. They're real subtle with the name there. He's okay, but I never think he's anything more than okay. You know what I mean? And I don't know if it's maybe it's just. I don't know how to put it. I don't know if maybe he just didn't have quite the presence I would have wanted that character to have, or I don't know what it was. Because he had an interesting, as the story goes on, he actually has a fairly interesting backstory, you know. So it's not like he's just a boring character, but there's just something about the performer. He's just adequate for me, but he didn't really pop, you know.
Yeah, I get the impression that he probably could have done better, but just kind of like what the how they had the character, like, have that arc play out. I mean, maybe there just wasn't really much that he could use to, like, do whatever. I mean, because the character is pretty much like, hiding on the run, like not doing very much and just like, training horses and shit. So he wasn't able to do like, typical badass, like, Western stuff, or like, maybe he just kind of was like in the middle between like, quiet loner and just like, badass gunslinger. So, just maybe just like that kind of character just isn't somebody you can like really, latch on to. It was super interesting. I mean, when they had him doing stuff that was kind of cool, like when they had like a, I guess it'd be a flashback where he's getting chased by all the other guys in the canyon, then he like, pretty much like shoots, I think he shot his horse and then like used it for cover and just started gunning guys down. I mean, that was pretty cool. But other than that, I can't think of a lot of moments where I was just like, wow, this guy's pretty sweet.
Yeah, I think for me, it wasn't. I mean, I can see that point to a certain degree for sure. And maybe I'm just going to go to just Westerns in general, because the performance. I mean, it's the kind of thing that normally I'll give credit to a performance that I would say is quote unquote understated. But there's just something about him. So even. And this is not fair to the actor. I know I'm going to say it before I'm prefacing what I'm about to say by saying, this is not fair to Jack O'Connell. This is I'm being, needlessly unfair here. But I can think of any number of certain actors, and maybe because they're more iconic actors, that's why it's not fair. Who with that same kind of material, even if they were just, laid up in a barn, wounded, whatever. But they would have that certain something where it wouldn't they it would still they would still hold the weight of the screen more than this guy did. And I know it's not fair to say he's no Clint Eastwood or something like that. I know that.
Yeah,
But
but
he's
no, I was more I was
he's
more
no Timothy
interested in,
Oliphant either, quite
yeah,
frankly,
no, I was more interested in Scoot McNairy, like, losing his vision and like going on his mission than this guy.
Yeah. And I was as well. It was interesting. I was trying to figure out the stuff with Scoot McNairy because it seemed once we got to a certain point that was everyone or not everyone were people in the town basically labeling him a coward, and but they were basing that on their perception of him and not realizing he just had bad eyesight or had or okay that's a
Like
little.
he didn't want to get into gunfights because he like was, his eyes were getting bad and he didn't have fucking glasses.
Okay, that's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, it's him getting glasses and being able to see is kind of okay, but it's not like, but everybody like thinking he's like an idiot and like a crappy whatever shitty sheriff because he can't see. That's like they're trying to be cute, but it doesn't work. Like just like, getting glasses and putting him on worked. That just the people being crappy about it just, I don't know, just doesn't quite come together in any really good way.
Yeah, well, and for me, drop this weird coin ahead. I'm sorry. And again, purely a clearly, obviously personal basis. As I mentioned, that I've written an actual script with a Western, and coincidentally, and which almost annoyed me when I was first watching the first episode two of Godless. I was like, oh, don't do this to me, guys, man. The main character in the thing that I've written is someone who multiple people in the town mumble, mutter, or straight to his face accuse him of cowardice. And at least I have a reason that's better than the fact, oh, he has bad eyesight, and they've confused that, whatever. It's because his father was a coward and had committed suicide, and they just figured, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree, kind of a situation. And he's just suffering the brunt of punishment that they would have given to his father. Anyway, back to an actual thing that's been produced. But I was very interested in that storyline, as far as what he was doing, and the fact that even what I really liked about it is that it even got to a certain couple points, or at least one really specific point that I didn't expect. Like the fact that he actually does catch up to them, and there's that whole scene between him and Frank Griffin and his 30-man posse and whatever. I didn't think he'd actually catch up to him. Once he was there, I was like, oh wow, are they gonna kill off this character? That's kind of a bummer. We've been watching all this time and whatever. And they do that to someone else in this production. But I like that because it wasn't what I was expecting. Whenever any of these things can do something, I was like, oh, they took a left when I thought they were gonna take a right. That kind of stuff I really got a kick out of. As and I mentioned something about characters dying, whatever. It was weird. We didn't, even though we didn't spend that much time with certain characters, I did feel bad with the characters who do get killed off during the course of the series. I did not anticipate until it was about to happen that they were going to be killing off the Sam Waterston character. Because you go get Sam Waterston, I figure, oh, he's going to be in it, fighting till the end. It's like, oh, he gets gunned down pretty badly there. So I did not enter. And then but the kid, what's his nickname? Is it Whitey?
Something like that,
The deputy who gets taken out before anything really gets before the town goes to hell in that last episode. They kill him off pretty quickly. Not to mention all the Buffalo soldiers who just kill all of them apparently. And Christ, it's a series that does have a lot of moments of rather extreme violence in it. Which I guess I appreciate it, because, I think it's important to see the brutality of what these men have done and just, the whole Western idea altogether. That said, it does reach a point of such extreme in that final episode. It's almost cartoonish at that point because it goes on and on for so very long. It's like the Wild Bunch on speed or
Yeah,
something.
it's a Peck and Paw Netflix episode, yeah.
It's very Peckinpah. However, that whole thing with the horse galloping through the house and eventually on the roof, that I don't think I've seen. I feel like I've seen a horse in a house before. I'm pretty sure I never saw a horse on the roof before.
Yeah, no,
So
that was pretty sweet.
that was it's moments like that. The originality of them, and just and there's a lot of beautiful shots in this entire series. I mean, the cinematography,
Oh yeah, tough match.
and the thing about Westerns, and I try not to go too crazy about cinematography with some Westerns because usually they're quite often they tend to be shot in places that you visited and stuff like that. But the key to great cinematography isn't just like, oh, look at the grand vista. Because you know what? Anyone can take a camera and do that. Great cinematography is how you compose a shot. And, you know, different things like that, and, you know, the interiors looking outside kind of stuff, whatever. And, but there's a lot of moments throughout the series like that, and you realize, oh, this is really, they took some time and care to really put this thing together and really make it look beautiful. So,
Oh yeah,
it's
they
a,
definitely set up some really, really nice shots here.
it's definitely one of the best looking series I've seen in a while. Actually, it's probably one of the lucky things we've had with our streak of Netflix binge shows. We've actually
Oh yeah.
watched several shows that were that really are shot beautifully.
Yeah, extremely well done. Very nice.
Mindhunter, Dark, I would say Dark, this really they're all very different, but they all have really great cinematography. So
Yeah.
really elevating the quote unquote TV experience, I think.
Yeah.
Now, one thing about this series, and I just feel I should address it now instead of just waiting till later on, so it's, and you may not agree with me on this, which will be fine. And it is, and here comes the criticism. Here comes that criticism. So, the way this show was promoted, and the way, and okay, and I understand, and I'm not talking about like TN, not TNT, Netflix, excuse me, net, commercials, whatever, that which, are not in the hands of, say, the people behind the show, but everything else, there's a certain amount that the show runners and the creator, who I think it's, I want to say it's Scott Frank, I think that's the guy who did it.
That's yeah, that sounds right.
Who has done some really great work at the best. If I'm not mistaken, I think he's the guy who, I think he actually wrote a couple scripts that I'm a huge fan of. I can't remember what now, like something like Minority Report or Edge of Tomorrow, one of those things he wrote or something, which is like, I'm like, oh, he's good. Anyway, but one of the selling points of this series, which made me go, ooh, was the setup. And the setup is you have this town where, because there had been this massive mining accident that basically wiped out practically all the men in the town. I mean, there's a handful left, like the sheriff and his young, silly deputy, and a couple old guys scattered here and there, like this bartender or that whatever guy, a couple random guys. But generally speaking, it looks like the town is mostly all women. Which is like, oh, that's, and again, that's different. That's something I can't say I know that if I've seen that before. I mean, I'm not going to count something like The Beguiled because that's, that's more of a Civil War kind of a thing.
And it's a smart concept too, because I mean that is something that could happen out there. I mean it like it fits. It doesn't feel contrived or anything. I mean that easily could have happened.
Right. Definitely. I mean, and it's definitely intriguing, and what these women would do, whether they be frontier women or not, or women who had to convert from what they had been before to be stronger, and how they persevered and made the town their own. There's all that potential. I can't say they really utilize that to the extent I think they should have.
Nope.
Because that the problem is that ends up being just the setting or backdrop to another story. The story is about, Jack, the Roy Good character trying, hiding out from Frank Griffin, and the whole sense of family and betrayal because he was part of them. He like raised him from when he joined their gang as a youngster and all that other stuff. That becomes that. That's the story. The stuff with the town of women ends up being kind of this side story. And when it does get focused on, it's not always focused on in the most interesting light. It becomes a little bit by rote, like, oh, okay, I get with Merritt Weaver's character. He's going to be like the strong one, and Michelle Dockery's character has nothing to do with anybody, She just, she's out off on her own over there with the old lady and her son, whatever. And everyone else is just going to fall in line. It kind of, and that those aspects of the show ended up falling a little flat for me, and it kind of, I was a little disappointed by that. I thought you've got all these people, I'm sure they're all really fine actors. Give them more to do. Give them something more interesting. But they just, it became so much focus on the other stuff. It almost it didn't matter. It didn't matter whether this town was all women or not, because the story never seemed to be about
No.
that. Even the way the entire thing plays out, if that had been a hotel filled with just a bunch of schmucky guys as opposed to women, it pretty much would have played out the same way, because they're not professional gunslingers and whatever. So I think they kind of dropped the ball a little bit as far as that was concerned.
Well, I think, they just, I'm not sure why exactly, but I think they just ended up having, I mean, just like they were trying to do too many different things at once, and they didn't really, I don't know, there just wasn't very much cohesion, so they just took all these different Western things that, everybody knows, like Shane and all, any, just pick any movie that's got some big duel at the end and, whatever, and just put it all in a shotgun and just shot it at the writing board and just like, okay, we'll just kind of let it go, let it end up together, in some whatever way. I mean, Sam Worthington getting killed kind of reminded me of Unforgiven. Just some of this other stuff there too. So like they did a bunch of cool stuff, but it just, like it just, I don't know, like they needed to be longer, they need to be trying to do less or something, but it just, just wasn't quite, coming together the right way. I mean, they're doing a lot of different stuff and, it was, it was fine, but it just didn't flow together like, an organic story, I guess.
It's a that's the length of the series makes it weird. Because, and it, and I know that there's something funny here, because a comment I've made I don't know how many times about a number of shows, particularly on Netflix, that I say are too long. It's usually the Marvel shows, but there's been others like that too, where it's like a 13 episode thing. It's like, ah, that would have been better as 10, or it would have been better as 8, or something like that. We got, but then, but. Thinking about what we've watched recently, Mindhunter, we wanted more, but so which means it was the perfect length. Dark, perfect length. It didn't need to be go any longer than it did. This, however, it's a weird one because this part of me thinks it should have been shorter, and then there's another part of me that thinks it could have been longer. And I'm not, and I'm kind of torn. Where I kind of fall there, you know what? I'm gonna say if you're gonna just strip it down and make it about Frank Griffin versus Roy Good and make that the focus, and that's what the focus tends to be more often than not, then I'd say maybe they could have stripped it down a little bit. But if you're gonna really tell a huge story, because you've got a lot of characters here, and really. And really give us time to invest in some more in these characters more, so we might care more about any number of these women that we see in the town. Because, like, for example, I'll give you one, and I don't recall the character's name, but we'll know who I'm talking about. The woman who I guess let's call it the German woman, who. But we only really get to know it, even experience anything about it in like the last episode or two. And it
Well,
turns
yeah.
out,
I mean,
but
Well,
she
yeah, she's
turned,
totally cool, but we was just we don't know what, there's no reason to expect that going in. I mean, just they just didn't develop it. I mean, I guess some relationship with her and that Pinkerton guy, I guess, but there's supposed to be some kind of like dramatic thing where he's trying to get to her during the gunfight, but there's just no reason to care because I mean, it's like what, like there's three scenes that got deleted that we didn't like see, and so just there's just no reason to really like give a crap about it. I mean, it just a lot of the stuff they just like it could have been interesting and they used good performers, but they just didn't follow it through. I mean, just wasn't they just didn't make it happen. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely. I mean, I would have, and this also would have fixed the whole issue I have with, you've got a show set up as about this town of women, But we don't really spend that enough time with almost any of these women to real for them to really have any fully fleshed out characters beyond a few. I mean, obviously, we
Yeah.
spend a lot of time with like with the Mary Agnes character and her relationship with the teacher who is the former whore, I guess for lack of a nicer way to put it, and a couple people. But I kind of wish we had gotten more and spent more time with some of these other people to really see how they what led them to be where they are now. I mean, I know there's at least one moment or scene where we get a little bit of a flashbacky kind of thing, like the pre before the mining accident happens. Maybe it would have been nice to have a little bit more of that, just to see from where they came and where they are now, and see how these women all changed. But the show didn't have time for that. It chose to this the other stuff. They tend one of the problems is. Certain characters and their backstories get these really quick, broad strokes that end up doing the character a disservice, I think, or it ends up being kind of like I think it plays a little not as well as maybe the writer and creator had intended. And I'm thinking
Yeah.
specifically of the Alice Fletcher. That's the Michelle Dockery character. Her actual backstory is a little bit, if you break it down and you boil it down to what really happens with her character, it's a little disturbing. And I don't mean just basically what actually happened to her, but just if you pick it apart moment by moment, because she's basically there. She and her, I guess her mama, they're attacked. Right, and she's essentially being not just she's being raped. Then I guess she gets raped, then she's saved, and then ends up with the Native Americans, which is leads to her having the child, whatever. And it's just the way the whole thing plays that there's something just felt very wrong about it, and not because oh it's wrong, I mean I feel bad what happened to her, but it just it felt weird to me, and the
Yeah, it just took like a, some Western concept and just kind of blended it together and then had this like, oh, yeah, this white woman gets raped by the Indians and they're just gonna like, then the two white people, the rescue, are just like, yeah, she can just go hang out with the Indians. That's, what we do. No, that's not what anybody would do in that situation. It doesn't make any sense. It fits like, it makes that's what they had to do so they could have like, her Native American, stepmother or whatever, hanging out at the house, being all grouchy and stuff. But other than that, it like just doesn't. I mean, that's just like not what people like that would do back in the 19th century at all.
Right. And then fast forward to the end of the series, the resolution of her character is strange. Because when you watch all 7 episodes, it's clear that she really likes or is falling for the Roy Good character. And vice versa. And we know that Bill, clearly has always had, a thing for her, a crush on her. We see in the backstory that he was, I mean, he helped save her and all that other stuff. But it's also kind of clear throughout these episodes that she likes him, but you never get the feeling that she likes him. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But by the end of the series, it seems like, okay, Roy Good's gonna leave because he has to go. He's gonna go to the West Coast and find his brother finally, or whatever. And then we're gonna sit and watch him ride his horse for about a half an hour or something, whatever that felt like. Really weird ending to the series, quite frankly. So he takes off, but Bill shows up. The guy that she's kind of like, oh, it's Bill. And then I guess they're gonna end up together. And I was like. What? It didn't feel like a satisfactory ending for either one of those characters. Because, well, I don't think she loves him. And he doesn't seem to be that, and he seems to be a fairly intelligent character. he would should know that, and I don't think he's should have to settle for that. So it just seems really weird. I mean, if they wanted to, and I felt if they wanted to play it that way, if they wanted to play it up as just this is kind of a tragic thing that, you know, because that's all these two people feel they're good for. Like, I'll just end up with a man that I don't really love, but that's what life has given me, and he'll be like, oh, this is the best I can do because I've always wanted, or I'll even accept this. But they don't play any of that up. It's just, it seems like, oh, it's a happy ending for them. It's like, it doesn't feel very happy. It feels kind of weird. I almost wish they hadn't implied or indicated that was going to happen, because it felt wrong to me. It just didn't, kind of like what you were saying about things not feeling organic or making sense or whatever, that didn't make any sense to me either.
Oh, yeah, it's just like they're thinking, just like, oh, we don't want the audience to think that she ends up alone. Let's, you know, make them feel better that this show that was supposed to be about women being badasses, you know, she has to have a man to take care of her. And, whew, that's a perfect footnote for that.
Yeah, you know? That's the other thing. It's like she's the most independent one of them all. Why would she?
Yeah.
I honestly wish they could have figured out a way, and it really wouldn't have been that hard. It's called roll credits. If they could have figured out a way to pretty much end the series within a minute after the classic face off between Roy Good and Frank Griffin, since again that's what the whole thing ended up being about anyway, I think I would have preferred. I think it's just that last, and I don't know how many minutes it actually is. Maybe it's only 5 minutes. Maybe it's 10 minutes. The last several minutes of the series, I was like, oh god.
Yeah, no, they could have just taken a quick pass through the town, you know, show who's still alive, you know, let somebody be hammering some boards onto a whatever, so that, you know, town's rebuilding, you know, let Roy ride off, that's hard to say, into the sunset, and yeah, just call it a day. That's good enough. It's a Western.
Yeah.
You know,
the preacher finally showing up, I knew that was going to happen, and I was like, oh, that's cute, whatever. But then it's like the forever of him riding the horse. I didn't see the point of it. I mean, other than the fact, oh, look at all the beautiful photography. But we've already had 7 episodes worth of beautiful photography. And I was muttering to myself as I'm watching it, I'm going, you know, this is all going to be about, he'll end up seeing like the Pacific Ocean. We're not going to actually see him. We're not going to see him actually see his brother. I know they're not going to do that. And they didn't. So like, so really, we just spent all this time just for that? No, unless you made that was a much bigger deal for that character, and I didn't feel they'd ever done that. So
yeah, well, no, that was like the Searchers, Scott. I mean, we have to get as many, you know, references or whatever as we possibly can. So
that was I thought it was like the Dark Tower, because isn't the Dark Tower they're trying to get to where the water is?
Yeah,
I'm thinking of the book, not the movie.
I don't think anybody watched the movie, so it's okay.
Someone sent me Michael Kamid actually sent me the digital copy of it several months ago. I still haven't watched it. I just can't.
I suppose since the universe rated it like 1 out of 10, he probably gave it like a 9.5 and went to it 3 or 4 times in the theater.
He fit it right in between watching, like, you know, Trolls 2 and some other whatever.
Pixels, that Adam Sandler thing that looked really stupid. I didn't watch.
He sees everything.
Oh yeah, I don't know.
He's gonna love that we just spent a couple minutes talking about.
Yeah, but no, Godless was a good show. There's certain things that just, you know, like, for example, this mining company, you know, subplot or whatever. I mean, I thought the guy from Sons of Anarchy, I thought he did a good job, but they just didn't really, like, you know, just another thing, like, they didn't really pay it off well. I mean, you just got this guy. I mean, there's a half an hour long scene where he's just spitting on everybody, and then they bang everybody in the town and let the horses go. I mean, it just didn't really, I mean, just kind of like, just, you know, it could have been interesting, but it wasn't used very well, and just, you know, maybe time they could have spent on something else, or something else could have been used to make that more interesting. But just, there's just too many little bits and pieces that didn't quite, you know, need to be there, and or just weren't quite used really well or developed.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, good show.
I mean, he's set up as like this real, this easy to hate scumbag. I think his character is like Ed Logan, whatever. And that doesn't really end up going anywhere.
No.
I mean, you have a moment when you think, "Oh, they are gonna use it well," because of the whole him encountering the Roy Good character a few times, whatever. But I never really feel the real payoff specifically between him, those two characters or not. I mean, at least unless I'm forgetting something. But I mean, I know the whole thing about him having the guys and taking the horses later on, but it was just
Yeah, that's yeah.
again. And I know it sounds like I'm being super negative about it, which is fine. I think there's enough to be negative about. There's a lot I really like here too, but obviously, I mean, if you, but for me personally, again, I keep saying personally as though I'm speaking for someone else at any other point here. If you lose the Jeff Daniels character though, or if he's not as great a villain and as multi-dimensional villain character as we have in this. I don't know if I really would have kept watching it.
Yeah.
That for me, that was the hook. That was what made me go, huh. I mean, first the opening of the series, which is just brutal, to the point where it's like, oh, I see why they're calling this godless. Gee whiz, or Jesus, whatever. And then it was one of those things like that really hooked me. Then it's like the line started getting slack. It started losing me a little bit. The more and more of, oh, the guy in the barn and all that stuff, and oh, he's a horse whisperer. Oh, great, cool, awesome. But then oh, Merritt Wavers' car is really interesting. Oh, it hooked me again. Like oh, and now we're back to something else I don't care about.
Yeah, but
But
yeah,
I mean, I mean, obviously, I put it in my top 20. I don't remember what number I put it at, but I know I put it in my top 25 of the year. So obviously, I liked it enough.
and there's lots of stuff they did well. I mean, I just finished watching a whole bunch of Longmire, and they shoot this in a similar area. I mean, actually, like the same area, but it doesn't feel like the same thing. So, it was nice that they really made it seem like the area in New Mexico that the story takes place. I mean, because that's basically where they were filming. But I enjoyed seeing some of those locations, and when they were filming stuff that was like supposed to look like Colorado, I mean, it looked like Colorado. So, a really solid job for the production team, shooting out there in the desert and doing whatever. I mean, they did a good job, so I applaud them for that.
Oh yeah, it's definitely stuff like that is amazing. I do think they also, I mean, they were sly about it. But if you look back on it, they were able to fit in some. How do I put this? Let's say political commentary kind of found its way into the series, and they were kind of subtle about it. But
Yeah.
sometimes I pick up on stuff. Sometimes I'm actually not. I'm not as stupid as I say I am. Got a couple things going on
Sometimes.
here. So, like, say the mining company, and you've got the whole thing with this rich guy who's just saying all that, kind of trying to screw them over. And there were all these promises that had been made before, but then that was the other guy who got killed, whatever. And is. Kind of being kind of jerk to all the women, whatever. And I was thinking, huh, that's interesting. And then you have the guy, the journalist, who literally creates fake news during the course of this show. Because I love the whole thing about Frank Griffin coming to, wanted to see him because of what he had written. Which, I mean, I was thinking Unforgiven a little bit when that happened. The whole thing in Unforgiven with the writer and how Gene Hackman point character points out how the stories he tells are kind of bullshit and they're just kind of to prop up these whatever. And this guy is supposed to be an actual journalist as opposed to just some writer. But then we see he does just that. He lies. He makes up things. He exaggerates all the time. And I was like going, wow. Fake news back in the 19th century. Look at that. Huh.
Yep.
You know that they were thinking stuff like that
Yeah,
when Frank was
and
doing stuff.
that is still, it's accurate to the accurate to the time period.
Oh
But
yeah.
yeah, they definitely were trying to say something about a current state of affairs.
Oh yeah. Oh.
Emphasis on affairs.
Yeah. And And that's why there's something ironic about the fact that, on one hand you go into this thinking, oh, look at all these women, oh, it's great, because, this is the era of empowerment and, and better roles and whatever. And I seem to remember, I didn't write it down or type it or anything, but I think you're familiar with that someone had posted this somewhere. That, on this show that's, has got such a female heavy cast, and that's how they promoted it. And I don't know if in the entire series or just the first episode, I don't remember. So people can correct me on Facebook or wherever they want to correct me on this one. There was something like a percentage of dialogue spoken in, like, if the first ep, because I don't know if it was, I can't imagine it's the whole series to watch it is, but at least the first episode, it was over, like, it was something like at least 75% of all the dialogue was spoken by men in the show. It's like, wait, the show is about a women, a show where it's the town was just basically all women because all the men were killed, and more than 3/4 of the dialogue were spoken by men. That's interesting. So more men were talking godless than in The Last Jedi. Okay, interesting. But I really, there's a lot of things I liked about it, but I think one of the things about the show, about the series, and you've pointed it out a few times already, is the more you know Westerns, the more familiar you are with Westerns, that's either going to be something that's going to make you really enjoy the series, or it's going to be something that's going to kind of make you kind of react like, oh, they're just ripping this off or ripping that off. I think it's for you to decide whether things are playing as an homage or they're just, ripping something off. I don't really, I would never accuse them of ripping stuff off. I think they're riffing on certain things, and
Yeah,
I,
definitely
yeah.
riffing,
And you know, and every and evolves, and again, going back to how we began the podcast, this is a genre which is always going to be derivative of itself, and when you watch a Sergio Leone movie from the 60s, which are brilliant, but Leone himself would tell you how much John Ford influenced him and people like that, and how he shot his movies and different things, and so on and so on and so on, whether it be, and whether it be the way character work or cinematography or whatever, that's always, again, more than almost any other genre, that's it's gonna, and that's why I would probably let it go. And it almost made me smile when I caught, little references to certain things, unless it was something which I just felt like. Like the joke you just made about the Searchers is like, oh yeah, it was kind of like the Searchers, was it?
It was a good show, a solid B show, but it definitely is not greater than the sum of its parts, to those of us who like, can see the all the different, we can see the blueprint and we know how that other stuff turned out. It just isn't the kind of thing where it's better than it's yeah, it's a jack of all trades, a master of none. That's just how it ended up being.
Yeah. That's kind of how I put it. I mean, at the end of the day, am I rec would I recommend it? Yeah, I'd recommend it. I definitely think it's worth watching. I mean, what it's got going for it looks great. I don't recall there being a bad performance at all per se. I just
No.
didn't think the lead guy was all that interesting, especially compared to, whether it be Scoot or Jeff Daniels or anyone else.
Yeah.
But again, he wasn't bad. He was just like, yeah, he kind of Mark Wahlberg did it a little bit there.
Yeah.
And the I mean, and for the most part, as far as I can recall, the women are really good on it. I mean, Dockery is really good, Weaver is really good, all the women whose names I don't remember or I didn't write down are really good. So
Yeah.
it's definitely got strong points going for it. It's just, I would say on the scale of Westerns, I don't it doesn't it no way it reaches the heights of Deadwood, but I think I might put it over, say, a random 7 episodes of maybe Hell, of certain seasons at least, of Hell on Wheels, because at least I was more into the storyline here, but not much more ahead of that though.
Yeah.
But yeah. check it out if you like.
Yeah. And if you've already listened to this, you probably have.
Oh yeah, that's pretty stupid. Obviously, if you listen to this podcast, you've already. I hadn't even. What the fuck am I talking about?
It's late. It's
fine. I'm stupid. So, yeah. So that was our latest Netflix show that we have covered. I know you and I are fidgeting, fussing with the idea of two more shows that are on the docket. It's more of a matter of when we can both watch them and be able to get together to talk about them.
Yeah, I've had health issues with one of our pod cats who routinely shows up in the show and growls at one of the other cats, so she hasn't been feeling super well, but she seems to be getting a lot better than she was, not really circling the drain anymore, so that's good, but I haven't really been feeling like watching much for dramas over the last week, so hopefully I can get my head out of my ass and watch more TV, which is a good thing in our since we need stuff to talk about.
Right.
So I'll try to plow down some stuff, and we can get together and talk about some stuff.
Yeah, because I mean, as I think I mentioned on a previous podcast, so it's not spoiling anything necessarily. Tentatively speaking, I think the next two shows we're going to talk about, we may end up doing it over the course of two or four podcasts. We might do it over four, because they're two shows that both have two seasons each. The show that people have been bothering me about watching for like almost 2 years now, so finally I'm watching it, The Crown, and I have seen one season now. And Travelers is the other one, which is about as different from The Crown as you can get. So I kind of like that, and I personally am more than halfway through the first season of that one. And I know you had started watching it, but, due to kitty cat issues, whatever, you kind of decided to, you needed to liven things up with some comedy. So you kind of...
Yeah, I spent the week in Pawnee, Indiana.
Not a bad place to be.
No, not at all.
It's funny, even the really bad politicians on that show look really good, right? What's the name of that one character I love on that show?
The one with all congressmen or councilman Dexard, who has all the insane sex scandals.
Yeah, the guy who's like a total asshole. And maybe that's who it is. He used to be, if the guy I'm thinking of also used to be a recurring performer back on the old Conan O'Brien show when he was on NBC, and I loved him on that. And when I saw him, when I realized he was like this really scummy politician character who showed up a few times on Parks and Recreation, I couldn't. And he's hysterical on it. So
yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyway, we're talking about Parks and Rec now. It's such a weird podcast. Okay, so hopefully once we figure things out, The Crown and Travelers are most likely going to be two of the shows that we'll be talking about in the near future. This was podcast number 198, so which also means we're nearing the big 200, so there is a possibility we might try to do something quote-unquote special for number 200, but not necessarily, but we'll see. We should probably do something. The fact that we've done 200 podcasts is insane. Think about how many hours that actually is.
Yeah.
Just with the best of podcasts, it's like 20 hours right there.
Yeah. Yeah. Per podcast. Yeah.
Right. Anywho. Okay. So if you enjoy this podcast, and hopefully you'll enjoy some of our future podcasts, you'll probably enjoy hanging out on our Facebook page as well. It's the Serious TV Drama Podcast page. Like the page and join the conversation about shows like Godless and God knows how many others that we talk about there. You can also track us down on iTunes. You can subscribe to our feed there as well as rate and review us. And here's the moment where I have to say, guess what? We finally got another rating and another review. And we know who the person is who gave it to us, because he's someone that we encounter all the time on the Facebook, in one or two, one or two
I don't know.
Three groups.
Who left us a review?
Gotten Himmel. You don't know who it was?
Oh. So I suppose he was able to quit his job because of the great tax cut that he got, so he had time to do the review. So thanks.
Oh boy. So thanks for that. I'm just happy because I think that meant we have a nice round number of 40 for ratings instead of it was perpetually 39, which is okay if you're 39 years old and you want to always be 39. But I kind of wanted to get into the 40s because I really wanted to get to 100, but that'll never happen. We'd have to actually have 100 listeners. Anyway, where was I? So Facebook, iTunes. Oh, Twitter. You can also follow us on Twitter. Our handle there is at STVD Podcast. It's STVD as in serious TV drama. I do kind of want to look into making T-shirts for us on Cafe Press or something one of these days. Because we can make, I think we can make like a whole 20 or 30 bucks doing that, I'm thinking. So, as always, it was good getting together with you, Dan.
Yes, indeed.
And with that, good night, y'all.
Yeah, y'all come back, we reckon.